Welcome to the Jimmy's Army podcast, first ever podcast about the Oklahoma City Energy, made by Energy fans. My name is Daniel Hernandez, and I'll be driving this podcast. With me here to the left is Tyler Williams.
Hello, hello.
And over here to the right is Ryan Hernandez.
The brains of the operations, hello.
Just want to let everybody know that he's only on the pod because he's my brother. So, and I'll always make that joke, so get used to it.
It's still not funny.
Again, we're here to talk about Oklahoma City Energy FC, our hometown team. We'll also dabble into USL Pro, talk about what's going around the league, as well as in our conference. Those things are important. So, but before we get into those different items that we're going to talk about tonight, wanted to introduce the folks that you'll be hearing over the next, you know, hour, hour and a half or so. So we'll start with Tyler. Tyler, why don't you tell us how you got into the game, or how did you get here to this podcast?
Well, born and raised in California, came here for school, here to Oklahoma City, stayed because I love it. And, you know, to be honest, I came to all this just by going to the bar, watching games, met everyone, kind of got into the whole atmosphere of it. I really started here, but I guess, where my fandom grew into fruition.
Okay. Okay. Shout out to Skinny Slims, by the way. We love Skinnies. That's where you go to watch the games if you don't already. Ryan, how about you? Why don't you give us a little bit of your story?
Oh, you know, just played some rec league soccer as a child. Played a little bit in high school, not too much. But other than that, mostly just same as Tyler. I got into the sport just because of Skinny Slims going downtown, made a lot of friends, and now I just love it.
Cool. I'll give you a bio of myself. A lot like my brother, we grew up playing soccer in youth leagues, and I remember first experience with soccer being the 94 World Cup and watching that with Dad. Ryan, I know you remember that. And
I was four, so I don't remember.
Okay, yeah, maybe you don't remember that. Well, I remember that. Anyways, growing up watching, that was the first experience with soccer. A couple years later, we had MLS and the Dallas Burn. Grew up watching them, and favorite player being Jason Christ, and just kind of grew up playing the game all the way through. Tyler, you're giving me a shout-out for Jason Christ, right? You strikers stick together.
We always do.
Anyways.
Selfish people.
You know, kind of developed, or kind of, I guess, identified the soccer scene coming out of college here in Oklahoma City at Skinny Slims and with the American Outlaws. And then a couple years ago, we got gifted our beloved OKC Energy, and it's been, what, a couple seasons now, and we haven't looked back, right?
Yep.
Correct.
Into that second season, we've actually got a new place to call home, which is nice to see. So we're enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, Taft is wonderful.
Absolutely. So mostly because they sell beer now. But anyways, I digress.
Thank God for that.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our producer / editor, Matt Crane, back at home. I don't know where home is, but they say that a lot whenever they're not actually with us. And he'll do the editing and all the sounds and stuff. So Matt's not going to talk, but what up, Matt? Anyway, so we'll kind of talk a little bit about what the podcast is going to be about. So this is, again, an Oklahoma City Energy FC podcast. That'll be the main focus of it. We will dabble into USL Pro because it is important to what's going on with the team. We'll talk about, you know, a lot of the different teams. We'll go over what's going on around the league. We'll also, if we feel like it, dabble into general soccer. You know, we all have our teams outside of USL as well. You know, Tyler, for some reason, is an Everton fan. And my brother and I are fans of the champions of England right now, Chelsea FC. So, anyways, we'll dabble into that. Tyler's just upset because they're in 10th place. Anyways, maybe
actually
worse.
11th.
11th, wow. 11th. That's, yeah.
Wow, you guys are even worse than we thought.
We're the Chelsea of the bottom half, thank you.
That's right. Yes. Yes, that's something, isn't it? So, anyways, we'll also jump into some USA soccer as well. We got the Gold Cup coming up here in June and July, and friendlies in between then. We'll talk about the big games there. So, anything you guys want to add on to that?
Yeah, another thing that we'd like to focus on and be able to handle is going over some of the events that we have going on in the city, mostly pertaining to soccer, watch parties, things like that. Just kind of important things that we want to have people know about? Anyone who's out there listening, just so you get a little heads up. Hey, there's a watch party at Skinny Slim. Hey, there's energy game, obviously, this weekend. Hey, the World Cup's going on. Here's who's going, here's who's not. That sort of thing.
And just for Matt, who will not be speaking, I'll give a shout out to his truly terrible team in an almost inspiring way, West Ham.
West Ham's awful. Aren't they ahead of Everton, terrible. Though?
Wait, that they are.
They are. Our co-host can't speak right now, but I'll speak for them. They are. So they may be the Chelsea of the bottom half. Who knows? All right, so before we get into talking about what's going on with the Energy FC, we are starting a tradition in this podcast. Before we talk about anything related to soccer, before we drop some knowledge, we will pop a beer. So let's go ahead and do that, everybody.
All right.
Oh, beautiful. It's a beautiful sound, boys.
Love it.
Before we get started, what are you drinking over there, Ty Ty?
I have a Oklahoma Coop Aleworks negative split right now for me.
Okay. I have the Coop spare rib.
Oh, very nice. Coop, it's local brewery?
Yes, local brewery. Next week, we should probably try to drink some Anthem in the spirit.
We love all you local brews out there that I know will listen to this podcast, along with the hundreds of thousands of others. So, if you guys need a sponsor, just let us know. We'll drink Anthem and Coop all day if you want to sponsor us.
Daniel,
rough
you're
tail,
wrong.
Repping MWC, rough tail.
That's right. That's right.
Where we are.
Daniel, you're wrong. It's going to be the millions, but that's fine.
That's right. Well, I don't need to sell us short, right?
Dream big.
Well, while they're drinking. Local brew. I'm over here. I got my Line and Kugel's Summer Shandy. It's a great summer beer out there. If you guys want to taste summer in a can, that's what that is. So,
summertime.
Anyways. Summertime. Will Smith. Okay. So, anyways, we will go ahead and here and jump into the recent results of the OKC Energy. Starting first with the big one at Tulsa, the very first game for Tulsa, our first game of the year. But again, their very first game ever ended up in a 1-1 tie. What do you think about that one, Tyler?
Well, to be honest, didn't get to show up to the game. I was a little disappointed in that. But it was kind of a sad outing. I mean, it was our first game of the season, so I can't really get too disappointed about it. But I think that if we were to play them now at this strength, I think that we would be a lot better.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Tyler. While I was there, don't remember much of the actual match itself. Thank you to The Grid for sponsoring that bus down to Tulsa. That's definitely why I don't remember. But it was a great game. I will reiterate what Tyler said. It was a little disappointing to come out with a draw instead of a win just because it's Tulsa and they suck.
Yeah, I'll kind of echo that statement. I think it kind of goes to show the two different teams right now is that, Energy were disappointed with a 1-1 draw, and I think Tulsa were ecstatic with it, and they were at home. So, anyways, I'll talk trash. I hate Tulsa. But anyways, I think that, again, I like what Tyler said. I think that, first off, that pitch was just one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. I mean, trying to cover an infield with sod and then putting sand down over it. It's amazing that, there could be soccer at all. But anyways, we won't get into that too much. So, okay, second game against Colorado Switchbacks. I remember this game pretty well. It was kind of – Danny Koenig's kind of come out.
Breakthrough performance.
Breakthrough yes, game, yes. His breakthrough game.
And what a breakthrough it was.
All right, that's right. Scored the goal there at the end.
The main thing I was disappointed in was, what in the world, Colorado Springs? We tried to watch it at the bar. We had a live feed ready to go. We had a bar full of people ready to just get Skinny Slims. And they were unable to air it live for us due to some sort of technical difficulty. We got screwed over on that.
Yeah, get your stuff together, Colorado. Come on.
Yeah, shout out to the Colorado Switchbacks IT team for not being able to stream any of the games. So we had to watch that one on replay, which we probably would have anyways, but yeah. We're going to talk trash on it now because it should have been live. So
dropping the ball.
Anyways, that ended up being, again, a good 2-1 win for us, an away 3 points, which is always important in this league with lots of games. Games usually bundled up together. Always good to get 3 points away. We'll go into the third game against Seattle Sounders 2. That was the home opener.
Oh, what an opener it was. It was fantastic. It was.
That Danny Koenig game winner right there.
Right in front of the supporter section. I slapped hands with him, actually, came over. It was great.
Oh, yeah, he's a man of the people. He came straight over to us whenever, you know, the supporters, after he scored, he ran right over to us. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Not even a second of hesitation. It was always in his mind. That's what he was going to do.
Absolutely.
Daniel, as you said last, the game against Colorado Springs was kind of his breakout or his breakthrough performance, whereas this time around, it was more of his establishment. He's kind of come here and said, hey, I'm going to be a goal scorer for you guys, which is really something we needed after last season. Last season, we really struggled with that, getting goals in the net. And to be honest, if it was the same point last season, we probably would have lost that game. They probably would have beat us 2-1 instead of the other way around.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think we are now seeing kind of what we want to see from a Jimmy Nielsen coach team, which is a 4-3-3. We finally have a number nine in Koenig who can and play there in the hole in the number nine there and play off wingers there and get the ball in and really just punch home chances, be kind of that poaching striker that is always in the right spot. And I think great Kyle Gregg, who we'll talk about, is a great player, and he actually did put home a chance against Austin, which we'll talk about. But to see the level of play at striker has really helped. So. Again, just to go over that again, that was a 2-1 win for us in the home opener. And I have to mention that we had a great attendance after what was a 30-45 minute lightning delay. But everybody still stayed. So I mean, that was pretty good. So the most recent game that we had against St. Louis FC actually wasn't the best result there. We'll talk a little bit more in depth in that game because that one's a bit closer to us, but it was a 2-1 loss, a home game there. And what did you think about that game, Ty?
It was actually a little bit disappointing in the fact that it somewhat, as I stated earlier, reminiscent of what we would have done last year. It was, hey, you know, we came up first. We had a beautiful goal. I believe it was Chuy Sanchez. Gorgeous goal. Just beat out everybody and then we just let two by. One of them not so pretty. It was just, you know, couldn't pick up the loose ball in the middle, and they put it away. And it was kind of, like I said, reminiscent of last year, something disappointing.
Yeah, I will say that we came out on fire, and we had so many chances to score that we should have converted. However, we did not, and then we just kind of lost our fuel. And actually, Cyprian Hedrick, he got beat so bad, which ended up costing us one goal right after we had scored, and that killed the momentum. And actually, he was out against Austin, and he's going to be out the next game because he accumulated yellow cards, which is actually probably a blessing in disguise, because Vince, I'm gonna call him out. It was kind of terrible in that game.
All right. Well, again, no, I agree. I think that was one of those games where we are probably the better team. You know, I don't know if I could say that exactly for Tulsa, because it was the first game for both teams, so both teams are kind of getting into it and trying to figure out, you know, first game for both, really, besides preseason. But this was the first one where the action was ramped up. But definitely against St. Louis FC, I think we were a far better team. We just didn't put home enough chances. And I think that as long as we continue to do that, I mean, we're going to be able to play with any team in the league. So. All right, so we'll go right into the most recent game here this past Friday against Austin Aztecs. It was an away game at House Park there in Austin. And so we're going to do a little bit of a different – we're going to kind of go into a segment here where we'll do this as a review to each game called Good, Bad, and Ugly. And each of us will kind of have our good, bad, and ugly for the recent game. And we'll do that pretty much for every game that we review going through this season. We want to give you guys a good kind of review of where we're at so far. So Tyler, go ahead and give me your good for this game.
Well, my good is probably going to be something more along the lines of we have a scoring threat now. I'm going to compare a lot of things to last year. We played aggressive this year. a lot of times last year I saw that, you know, when we were down, we were down, and it was pretty much over. This year we have a scoring threat. We played aggressive and created opportunities by using mostly our speed. We've got great speed up there in the front and even in the middle. We also have a real scoring threat in player Danny Koenig. I mean, we had great mentality throughout the whole game. And then also this game especially, like the last few games not as much, but this game we were lacking in a lot of stupid penalties and cards. We didn't have too terribly many stupid penalties against us, and I will say, you know, we weren't penalized too badly for it.
All right, that sounds good. No, I completely agree. I think that having an offensive threat is good. Ryan, what's your good to this game?
I'm going to go ahead and not specifically say a good from the game per se, but it was a great turnout at Skinny Slim's. We had a lot of people there watching the game, and it was a good showing. I got there a little bit late, but it was fantastic. It's fun.
I like you switching it up. Not something on the field, maybe off the pitch. That could be good off the pitch too. So I think my good during this game was I really liked what Daniel Gonzalez did in the midfield. You know, he's coming in playing, and I think this was his first start of the season, and he played with Chewy Sanchez there at Kitsap Pumas in the PDL, and they were almost champions in the PDL, but this was his first start for him. I thought he really dug in and was able to be that box-to-box midfielder and supply a lot of the good possession and the good passing to our wingers and of course, Koenig, because those guys are obviously dynamic. So, okay, so let's go ahead and talk about the bad of the Austin game. Ryan, why don't you go ahead and start us this time? What was your bad for that game?
Well, other than the attendance at the Aztec Stadium.
Tyler popping a beer, everybody. Go ahead, Ryan.
other than the attendance at the Austin Aztec Stadium, I'd say the bad was our inability to hold a lead. But it seems like whenever we score a goal, we immediately give up a goal, and then we sink to 2-1, and it's just we have to fight to draw the game, and it makes it a lot harder to win.
I agree. That's a good one. Ty, how about you?
Well, yes, as I stated earlier, we played aggressive. We have a scoring threat. We have a lot of opportunities. We create that, maintain possession, and we even had a solid counter. But we still have issues finishing. Like that, you know, when we get into our opposing third, all of a sudden the brakes come on for some reason. And sadly, all the teams that we've played thus far are all expansion teams, which, I mean, I'm happy with the results we've had for the most part this season, but we haven't really played anybody that has a lot of experience in this league so far.
No, I agree. I think that once we start getting into our schedule and getting to the place where we start playing these teams that have been established, that we're really going to have to up our game. But I think my bad for the game, and I'm going to take it a little bit different level, was the pitch. Again, I know I complained about this against Tulsa, but
absolutely.
If you guys watched that game, I couldn't tell what was a football line, what was a soccer line, what was a lacrosse line, field hockey, water polo. They had lines for just about every different sport you can play out there. And
that's
it was
impressive, water polo.
Water polo, yeah. No, they play it on land. Try it sometime if you guys are interested in trying some different things. But anyways, yeah, I think that field was pretty bad to play soccer on. I mean, you have your soccer lines being dark blue, and then you have your football lines being white, and your lacrosse lines being red, and I think it was pretty bad pitch to play on if you're trying to play professional soccer here. So
another bad, and I don't want to harp on them too much because it's kind of a cheap shot. But those announcers are, and it's not just Austin's in general. It's basically just all of them around the league.
Well, I think that none of them are as good as us, but you know who can be, right?
Well, actually, to be honest, I did not have any issues with them. They definitely were not too one-sided, in my opinion. They knew that they would have viewers from the Oklahoma City Energy. They gave us our props. They gave us our dues, which I actually did not expect, which to me was something that you don't really hear from a lot of opposing fans that are paid by the opposing team.
You know, I actually agree with that. But at the same time, when they open up the game with one team's going to come out with a victory, and then game ends up being a draw, it's just a tad bit ironic.
Well, let's be fair. They had to appease to Oklahoma City fans a little bit because we had more people watching on video than they had in the stadium. So when you have situations like that, you have to appease to the fans a little bit. But anyways, just talking a little trash there. Don't kill me, Austin fans.
Yeah, no, the announcers were actually pretty good too. I mean, like Tyler said, they were definitely unbiased. I mean, honestly, if you watch any other sport and it's the local announcers, they're gonna basically be riding the jock of whatever team it is that they're announcing for.
So you're just admitting that you were wrong in what you had just said. Is that correct?
No, I'm not admitting that I was wrong. I'm admitting that they did. Yes, I'm admitting I was wrong.
Yes, everybody take note of that. All right, we're going to go into the ugly of the game, and I'm going to start this one because I think all three of our uglies are going to be the same. Maybe I'm just guessing here, but I get to go first, so it looks like I'm original. But obviously, I think all of us would agree that Evan Newton was probably the ugly in that game. I think we walk out of that with 3 points, an away 3 points if Evan Newton doesn't try and play sweeper keeper on one attempt and then doesn't drop the ball on a corner for the other goal. I think we walk out of there 2-0 winners. I think that Evan is a solid keeper, and I think he'll be solid for us. I know he has experience in USL. He played for Arizona last year. I know he's solid, but that was bad out there. Pretty shocking, to be honest. So, Ty, what was your ugly?
Exactly the same thing, although I will expand upon that. That first goal, the chip, it was well placed and everything, but to be honest, the defense job, he shouldn't have even had that chip, because even if he didn't have that chip, he would have had a breakaway, which whose fault is that in the beginning? He had a clear shot at it. He took it. Newton was off his line, should not have been that far off his line, but the beginning, the first mistake was on the defense there in giving him that, because like I said, if Newton was on his line and he didn't have the chip, then the offensive player, that striker, would have had a breakaway.
Yeah, so, but I have to point out that ball that was played, I think it was Tierpak that played the ball, maybe Ambrose over there on the right side. I mean, he had his back to the goal he was playing on. He really just turned and just, it was really just a hopeful boot up field that happened to be the absolute perfect ball that you've ever seen and put the guy through. I thought, I don't think it was great marking, but I think to kind of get onto Cody Andrews there is a bit much, figuring you don't think that person out there towards, the back half of his own field is going to be able to turn and play that ball and put him in, there for to be able to chip in the first place. But yeah, I do have to agree that I don't know what in the world Newton was doing coming out for that one. I don't even think Manuel Neuer would have come out for that one, to be honest with you. Brian, what was your ugly of the game?
Same, with the added ugly of your face, Daniel.
Thank God the viewers can't see that.
Hideous. Oh, my God. If they did, they would not be viewers.
I have what they call a face for radio, right, boys? All right, we're going to take a little time here, each of us, just so you guys can get a little bit more familiar with the team and some of the players on that team. We're going to highlight a couple. We'll start with Ryan on that. Ryan, who are your two highlighted players?
All right, my first player is number one, Evan Newton. He's the goalkeeper. He's from Virginia Beach. Last season, he played at Arizona United. In college, he played at Old Dominion University in Norfolk. He was the program's all-time leader in saves. That's impressive. And ladies, he is single. I actually don't know that, so don't hit him up. And second on my list is Jacob Von Compernol. He's a defender for our team. He played at the University of North Carolina Wilmington, where he led the team to the second round of the NCAA tournament in their first ever appearance.
Legit.
That's pretty legit. And so he's a great asset to our team. But that's all for me.
All right, I'll go ahead and talk about my two players here. Actually, it turns out that they're probably the two most important players to our team. I'll start with number five, Gareth Evan, Gaz Evan, for you guys out there who want to know the nicknames of the players on the team. It's Gaz is, I guess, the nickname for Gareth in Wales. Yeah.
So if you see him on the street, just say, "Hey, Gaz, what's up, man? You want to get a beer or something? We're friends, but I said your nickname."
He said, "Yeah, if you say nicknames, people just automatically like you better." So anyways, Gaz Evans is from Wales. He's played a couple different USL teams here in the States. He played in the Welsh Premier League for a couple years and then came over here and played. So last team he played for, I believe, was the Wilmington Hammerheads. He is actually our vice captain, as well as our next player that I'm going to highlight, which is Michael Thomas. He is the captain of the team. He was actually has played in the MLS for a couple different teams. He was drafted by Sporting KC, and he's played for both Sporting and Toronto FC. He joined us last year as our first signing ever, actually. And this is his second year with the team. He's still the captain. He's moved from midfield role over there to the right back role. So that's the two players I got there, Gaz Evans and Michael Thomas. Who do you got, Ty?
Well, first on my list is going to be Chuy Sanchez. Going to go ahead and say he doesn't really need a nickname because Chuy's probably the best name you'll ever hear. He is actually from San Diego, California. His last club was the Kitsap Pumas, which is based out of Bremerton, Washington.
Sorry to all you people who live in Bremerton out there. We apologize.
You're not important enough to us to get it right, you know.
So his college was actually the California State University of Bakersfield, very close to where I'm actually originally from, which is Visalia, California, probably about 45 minutes to an hour away.
No one
cares. Good question, Tyler. Is that close to L.A.?
About 3 hours.
It's unimportant to us Oklahomans know about California, basically.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay, good to know, good to know.
How close is it to San Diego?
About 6 hours. Shut up. Anyways, he actually, his freshman year, led CSU Bakersfield in assists. So that's a pretty neat fact about him.
Yeah, he's a good little player, for sure. He's a good
always
player.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
And my last person is going to be the man, the myth, the legend, Danny Koenig, who is actually from Denmark. I am not going to pronounce any of these cities that he's played in or teams he's been with because I'm going to royally mess it up, okay? I'm going to screw that up. That's just, you know, the way it's going to be. But he is from Denmark. He played in the Denmark Premier League last. He is our leading goal scorer. He is our man, our boy right now. Danish Superliga. I apologize.
Not that hard to pronounce.
Sorry for all you Danish fans out there. We want to make sure we get that right.
You good, Tyler?
Anyways, yes. That is the end of that.
All right.
Well, how about we just, as a sort of mini segment, have Tyler try to pronounce those names?
Yeah. Why don't you pronounce where Mr. Koenig is from? Go for it, Ty.
The place of his birth would be Kingsburg. Kingsburg, Denmark.
Hey, Danny Koenig, if you're listening, please come on the pod anytime. Let us know how the hell you pronounce that name. And we would be happy to make sure we correct that in the future. Also, to the other Danish players who are undoubtedly going to listen to our podcast, if you want to help us out on where you guys are from and the teams that you played for, because I've looked over the names of these teams probably about 10, 15 times, and I don't think I know how to say them at all. I even tried to use Google Translate.
It's such a confusing language.
It is. There are consonants where there needs to be vowels and vowels where there need to be consonants. So anyways, you guys are always welcome. We have beer, and you guys can sit and talk with us as long as you want and teach us how to say your name. So anyways, we'll go forward from there.
Actually, I got one more. I'm going to try and go with that last club because that's just as bad.
Let's do it.
Vestjylland.
Vestjylland. Put it all together.
Vestjylland. What? How do you even know this?
I don't. I'm pretending like I do, like a lot of podcasters do.
It's Vestjylland-y. You pronounce the D fully.
Yeah, you emphasize the D. Yeah.
I wish you all could see my face right now because I'm so confused by these two. I can't know whether or not to take them seriously or just what.
No, I'm absolutely making that up.
Well, all you fans out there, there's your Danish for the podcast. And like I said, again, we apologize to all the Danish players on our team. I know we got a couple. And actually, Jimmy's Danish as well.
Hey, Jimmy,
so he's probably going to be upset with us. But, Jimmy, we love you. We love the Danish players. And
I think
we just don't get your language.
I did pretty well with Von Comprenal. I mean, I'm just going to give myself a pat on the back.
I don't think that's Danish. I think that's something else. But
yeah, well, I mean, it's...
Anyways, we all digress. Let's move on to the next segment. All right, what we're going to do is take some time now, go around the league, look at some of the matchups, some of the results, talk about a little bit. Ty, would you start me with first matchup?
First matchup is going to go ahead and be Seattle Sounders 2 versus Orange County Blues. Seattle Sounders ended up beating them 2-1. We'll go through these real quickly with you. Rochester Rhinos 2-1 over
Montreal.
FC Montreal. Then there's the Harrisburg City Islanders, who spanked Wilmington Hammerheads 4-0. Just laid the beat down there. Charleston tied Richmond at 2s all. Then Charlotte Independence beat Louisville City FC at a big 1-0.
I think the biggest one there was Seattle Sounders FC 2 versus Orange County. Seattle, with that win, actually went up a point on Orange County, who was surprisingly in second place now. Because last year, I remember, they were the first team that we actually beat. They weren't very good last year, but they're actually now a game behind Seattle and only 1 point as well. So they've had a good season. So that was still a good win for Seattle Sounders 2, but it also goes to show how good we can be when we play our best game, because Seattle Sounders 2 right now are top in the Western Conference, and we beat them at home. So
that was a great matchup, because that was Seattle against top of the table Orlando or
Orange County.
Yeah,
yeah. No, you're fine.
No. And to add on to that, Orange County has really, they've been spectacular this season. Like, not just top of the table, but they've been tops in pretty much a gameplay. Every highlight I've seen, and I've even watched a game from them. They're super. They're good.
So I'll tell you what I think the team that I've actually been the most surprised with is the Austin Aztecs, who have 10 points through 7 games. They're fourth right now, but they actually have a game in hand on Sacramento, who's ahead of them. And I think for an expansion franchise these are the first players they've ever had. And they do have an affiliation with Columbus Crew. But to be able to come out as an expansion franchise so far and to start well at 3-3-1, I think is what they would hope for. So.
Yep, and we can go ahead and continue on from there. Colorado Springs Switchbacks, they got a win over Arizona United. That's a tough game for them, too. 3-2.
Yeah, they just continue to fall on the table, man.
They do. They do. That's a.
They started out very strong, but now they can.
Well, this could be a turnaround for Colorado as well, because they started off real slow. I mean, the game against us, from what I saw, they played very poorly, and we should have capitalized a lot more than that 2-1 win we had against them. It should have been a lot different than that.
Yeah.
But,
it took us to the end of that game even to get a result. You know, I mean, we were going to go home with the draw until the very end of the game when Koenig saved us. And you know, again, that's a tough loss for them, but for the Switchbacks, you can't really ask for more from a team that this is their first few games, and they're not sitting at the bottom of the table like another team. Somebody who can let me know who's at the bottom of the table right now?
Is it that terrible team? Just
I'm pretty sure if you spell their city backwards, it spells something. What is it?
Do they play in a baseball stadium?
They do.
They do.
They do. Yeah. Hey, listeners out there, you can help us. But I believe it's Tulsa. Are they at the bottom of the table?
No, yeah.
Tulsa. Oh, my gosh.
They're at the bottom of the table.
Mm, yeah.
About where we expected them to be.
Bottoms. Anyway, so Then there's the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, who played New York Red Bulls 2 this weekend, and Pittsburgh ended up with a loss at 3-2. But the sad part about all this is, New York, where are your fans? Where are your fans?
I think if you're asking that question, you kind of have to understand that, you know, Red Bulls have a problem showing up for their first team. So to ask them to show up for their second team in a brand new stadium that is a soccer-specific stadium, they can't show up for the Red Bulls, and they darn sure aren't going to show up for Red Bulls, too. I mean, it's pretty bad. I mean, what was the attendance, like 300 fans, maybe?
Yes, maybe.
Maybe.
I think before this last week's game, they were averaging like 900 fans, if that. Maybe I might be being too generous, to be honest, but
I think you are.
Yeah. Gosh, if you're averaging less than 1,000, whew.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, you know, looking at attendance over these past few weeks, I think there's a couple of shocking notes. I mean, honestly, if you're looking at New York Red Bulls too, you probably shouldn't be too surprised at their attendance, yeah. But there are a couple of teams, Seattle Sounders, Portland Timbers, you know, two clubs that have such outstanding support for their major league teams, and they're having trouble getting people show up to their second team games. And I think if you think about it, you can understand, because there are so many games that, you know, they play in the MLS. But if you're looking at these two teams, this is the future of your franchise. You know, these are young players, the players you're trying out, and it just baffles me that they don't really give these teams some time. So.
Well, to kind of go expand upon that, like, they are still in the middle of the pack, though. It's not like they're the bottom of it's not like they're the bottoms. Now, if you look at their Major League Soccer teams, you know, they are kind of like a little bit of an expansion from those. I would consider it not a success. Compared to their Major League teams, I mean, those two are Portland Timbers, Seattle Sounders are they're the top two in average attendance, but these two, they're at least middle of the pack. That's better than saying, hey, look, you guys are top here and bottom here. Where I will give this to our hated rivals, Tulsa is actually kind of successful in this. They're averaging well over 5,000. I still hate them. We're still better than them, but, you know, hey, at least they're doing something decent.
God, that pitch, that was. I'm sorry, I know that we're past that, but that was one of the most awful things I've ever seen. I feel like I have to mention that again. So, anyways, what else you want to talk about around the league, Ty?
Well, so last week we've got Vancouver and Los Angeles, Los Dos, who we actually are playing this week. Vancouver ended up going down 2-1 to the Los Dos, which surprising me, because if you look at the Los Dos record now, that means they had a losing record before this last week, which is kind of surprising for the team that made it to the championship last week, last year. Then another one, which is another, I guess, good thing. Orange County Blues played again. They played Portland too, and they went up 2-0, which good for them. You know, they are still showing that they've got it. The Orange County Blues are actually someone I can see myself, hey, look, you're having to fight Ming from California. You're having to fight LA, Los Dos, LA Galaxy 2, because they're not far from each other. And, you know, maybe an hour's worth drive, maybe a little more, a little less. And so you're fighting them, and you're bringing your own. So good for you, Orange County.
You know, one of the surprising things about Orange County is that, you know, they're 4-2-0, which is, you know, it's good through six games, obviously. They have a goal for of 11 and a goals against of 5. So they're actually plus 6 in the goal department. You have to wonder how they've lost two games when they have a goal difference of that, you know, that steep. But they are a good team. It's kind of cool to see them be able to rebound after last year. I know, you know, I kind of have a soft spot myself for USL franchises, like the Energy, that aren't, you know, just split off from MLS teams, and like the Sounders 2 and the Galaxy 2 and the Portland 2 and Vancouver 2, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I do have a soft spot for those teams that play in the USL that are actually their own franchise, able to do their own thing. So, you know, it's kind of cool to see Orange County do well. I do have to mention now that your beloved OKC Energy have 8 points through five games, which isn't terrible. I mean, you know, we're sitting there towards, you know, the bottom of the table, but you have to understand it's early in the season. And the biggest thing to mention is we've only played five games. So, I mean, if you're looking at some of the other teams around the league, you know, that have played eight games, you know, Sacramento's played eight games. Well, we have three games on them to be able to get up there in points. And so I think it's worth mentioning that we've played so few games, and we will be ramping up the schedule, you know, coming up. So
just to go ahead and mention, there's a specific team on here that didn't have a game this weekend. Who is that, guys?
I think their name backwards spells something bad.
You know what? It doesn't matter. They still suck.
But so, they do suck. Yeah. It's Tulsa. In case you guys were wondering, that's Tulsa. Yeah, we don't like They're Tulsa. Terrible. So if you like Tulsa, stop listening to our podcast. But anyways, so what else do we got? We got anything else going on around the league?
That was all for this weekend.
Okay.
Some teams missed out. Some teams didn't. There was Sacramento, Tulsa, a couple other teams that didn't have a game. Charleston, actually, I believe. They did, yeah. They had Richmond, so everyone else played except those two.
It's, you know, it's pretty early in the season, but you know, I think looking at what Rochester and Richmond are doing, it's still the only two unbeaten teams left, both in the East, which is nice because we don't have to deal with them in the West. But both teams are unbeaten. Rochester is the best team in the league right now, 5-0-2. You know, they've drawn their two away games. They've only played one game at home, which is. To be able to have 17 points through seven games and only play one game at home is pretty outstanding.
You want to know something crazy? Is that Richmond has only lost four games in the last 3 years. That's unbelievable.
That's pretty crazy. So,
those fans are spoiled.
They're just spoiled, yeah. So, thank you, Tyler, for the beer pop. So before we go on, what we want to do is kind of look forward to a very, very big game. Very, very big game against Los Dos, LA Galaxy 2, Land of Beckham, and Landon Donovan. Two players who actually don't play for Los Dos or the LA Galaxy anymore. But, you know, maybe we got some listeners if we mention Beckham. You think
Who's David Beckham?
Beckham?
Yeah.
Beckham. Bend it. You bend it.
I got it. Yeah.
Oh, is he that Indian girl from the?
Mm-mm.
No. That's just the movie.
They made a movie after him for some wild reason, and it had a bunch of girls in it. And
I thought he was the Indian girl. Is her name not Becca?
No, I thought it was some blonde girl.
No, that's Keira Knightley. You're thinking of the wrong person.
My bad.
She kind of looks like Beckham, but she's not. So, anyways. All right. We do play LA Galaxy 2 next. Before we get into that, we actually have an advertisement for you guys.
Well, did someone say beer?
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 New for this season during the Energy FC games at Taft Stadium is beer. Yes, beer is being served at the Energy FC home games this season.
Beer.
Beer.
Beer. That's beer. Our ad.
Okay.
So, in case you guys didn't know, all you guys who think soccer is lame because you can't drink beer, well, now you have no excuse because they sell lots of delicious beer at Taft Stadium, including one of our favorite Anthem. Yeah, what's your guys' favorite Anthem, by the way, while we're talking about them?
Arjuna all the way.
Okay. What about you, Ty Ty? Think hard.
Hard. Actually, I'm quite partial. I'm going to be really honest. And sadly, I don't even recall the name. It's the newest one, the blonde served at the games.
The golden one.
The golden one. Yeah.
They just started serving it. Good. They don't sell it in stores even. Really.
No, they have it in can at Skinny's. Skinny Slims, okay. By the way. Shout Skinny Slims.
Yeah, Skinny Slims.
But yes, golden one's good as well. It's a very nice, easy drinking, perfect soccer beer. You know, for you guys out there who like your domestics, your Bud Light, they have that as well. But for you guys out there who are beer snobs, like to enjoy a soccer game as well as a good brew.
Like we all are.
That's right. Anthem is out there as well. So there is beer at Taft Stadium. All right, what we're going to do is go ahead and talk about our upcoming game against LA Galaxy 2. They are the reserve team of the LA Galaxy. They come into Taft Stadium with a 3-3-1 record, meaning 3 wins, 3 losses, 1 tie, away from home. They've only played 2 games, and they've won 1 and they've drawn 1. They have 9 goals for during the seasons and 10 goals against. I think, you know, one of the big things to note is they do give up goals. So going into this, I just would like to point out a key matchup I think that's really important to this game, looking specifically at Gaz Evans versus Raul Mendiola. Mendiola has, what, a goal and 6 assists so far this season. He has the most assists in the league so far. And you look at Gaz Evans, who's he's really our stopper, our defensive midfielder. He protects the back line. He kind of cuts down those midfielders, cuts off the passing lanes, wins the ball, tries to get us back in possession. I think that's going to be just a vital matchup going into this game to make sure we win. You know, if not, Mandiola is going to be able to just go out there and spray balls all over the place. So anyways, Ty, why don't you give us some players to watch in this game?
Well, one of the biggest players to watch isn't actually the most contributive player. His name's Jack McBean. Jack has 19 shots on goal, which leads the league thus far, which is actually pretty impressive that he is not, you know, he has his due, in my opinion. It's coming up. It's coming for him, and hopefully it doesn't come against the energy, and I'd like to be able to stop him. Their biggest goal-scoring threat is, thus far, Ariel Lassiter. He's got 3 goals in 6 games, doing pretty well, and their goaltender, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if I know my French, it should be Clamone Diop. And that's 2 shutouts in 6 games. So
those are you were going to say a bad word.
Sorry if we offended any French fans out there. Tyler actually doesn't speak French. So
He does not speak French. But that was a pretty great pronunciation.
And he's actually looking at me right now saying that he said that right. So I take back my apology to all France fans.
Tyler said that right. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
C'est moi?
Yeah.
Okay. I also heard that song. So anyways, going forward, Ryan, who are your players to watch in this game?
Danny Kunik, always. Always. He's going to give you a great matchup.
Always. Always a good choice.
Evan Newton. We need to see a great game out of him. I hope he doesn't have the same mistakes that he had in the last game. You know, I mean, I don't want to be so hard on the guy, but you know, he did make those key mistakes that cost us the game. But, you know, that doesn't mean I don't hope for the best for him. Other than that, another solid performance from our captain, Michael Thomas. Dahlgaard, he's been a great midfielder for us. He's got some great balls out. Another great player for us, Sebastian Dahlgaard. He's played great the past few games. He's been there where we needed him. He's played some great through passes for our players, and I just think he's going to be key in this next match.
Just so everybody out there on the pod knows, Ryan was trying not to say he's going to play good balls for us. I don't know if that's over the line, but I just feel like I had to mention it because he's my little brother, so I have to embarrass him when I can. But anyways, I have to agree with Ryan there. I think Koenig is always going to be big for us. You know, he could be a golden boot player for us. He could score the most goals in the league. I mean, he's that good. And I know that, you know, our offense out with Dahlgaard out there on the left, you know, Townsend's been playing on the right. You know, we've seen Kyle Gray come in, give some quality minutes up top as well, score a goal. He scored a goal against Austin. I think that our offense is always going to be very, very stout, and they're going to have their chances. I think finishing is something that we want to see more from them. So I think for me, my player to watch is Jacob Van Compernol. You know, he's started every game for us so far. He's been good there in the back. I think he's going to have the toughest matchup against McBean, who's a very big, tall, physical, imposing striker. He likes to get on the end of 50-50s. He likes to be a target striker. He's kind of a bruiser. He's not like these little small, quick strikers that you see. He likes to be imposing, and so you know, Van Compenrol and whoever center back he's going to be paired with. I think Cyprian Hedrick, who he has been paired with most of the season, he is actually out with yellow card accumulation, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so he's missing this game as well. So, you know, if that's Cody Andrews again, who's, you know, the new signing that played last week against Austin, who, besides maybe one mistake, I thought did all right, or, you know, whoever else we put there in the center, I think those two are going to be the matchups to watch. I think we're solid outside, and so those are my players to watch. You guys have anything else to add to this game?
Maybe just what we hope to see from the team looking forward.
Yeah, so... going forward, you know, last year what we finished 9th place, just one spot out of the playoffs. What are you guys looking forward to as far as looking at this team?
I'd really just prefer we prove ourselves to some of these, I guess, teams that have been there for a while. I know LA, Los Dos, whatever you want to call them, they've been there, what, relatively the same amount of time as us. But regardless, you know, they've still got more of an establishment through LA Galaxy. I'd like us to prove ourselves a little bit better this year than we did last year. Last year, we were kind of chaotic all over the place. Have our games where it was, we could beat anybody. Then we'd have our games where we couldn't buy a goal. I'd like some proof.
Yeah, last season, we were the type of team that could, we could beat anybody, but we could also lose to anybody at the same time. So I understand. Looking forward, I just want to see us improve upon the things that we need to. Like, we've already got the established attacking that we need. I mean, we could improve upon that. We could definitely finish more. We start out strong, and then we tend to trail off as the game goes on. And if we get a goal scored against us, then that even hinders us more. So I just want to see us definitely start strong, finish more, because we've had the opportunities. We need to just reel it in and just finish, and then play better defensively, and then we'll definitely be on the right track to be at the top of the league at that point.
Absolutely. I think with any team, you know, this is our second year in the league, and so we've had a lot of turnover even from last year. You know, we've kept a couple of players, obviously Michael Thomas, Gaz Evans, those players that you know. Kyle Greek, you know, he comes off and scores a goal every now and then. But
I really miss Kempin, man.
Yeah, I do miss Kempin right now. Again, Evan Newton, if you listen to this podcast, we love you, play better. But I think if you look at this team now, there's a lot of changes. I mean, even our front line is completely different. You know, Koenig, Dahlgaard, and Townsend are all new additions. You know, we don't start Greg. At least we haven't yet. You know, he comes off the bench. In the midfield, you know, Chewy starts now. You know, if you look at center back, we have Van Comfort, who is a rookie as well. You know, I think that what you want with teams like this that have a lot of turnover is to be able to gel throughout the season, which we saw happen last season to a point where we start off a bit slow and we got some results. I think that we've actually been getting results now, even though this team is young, but you want to see them continue to gel, continue not make some of those mistakes that we've seen so far. So,
you know, I know it wasn't mentioned before, but one of the people that we really probably want to watch a little bit is going to be Mikey Lopez. Mikey Lopez is newly fresh from Sporting KC. He's ours for now, and he came off the bench the last game, I believe. Did he? I don't believe he started, but regardless.
I think he did. Was he one of? Did he get the assist in the last goal that we got? Someone that came off the bench immediately assisted.
It wasn't him.
No, he didn't start. We had Chewy, Daniel Gonzalez, and Gaz in the middle.
But against Austin, we had someone come off the bench that immediately assisted in our.
Yeah, it wasn't him. Mikey Lopez. He did. He came off the bench as well, but it was definitely not him. But Mikey Lopez is going to be someone we want to look to. Seeing as he's got a little bit more influence, he's got a little bit more, you know, he's been there, done that. He's, you know, not new to any of this. He's going to do well for us, I believe.
Yeah, I think that for those of you who don't know, we are affiliated with Sporting KC. Just to give you a little bit of a rules breakdown, they have the opportunity to send us up to 4 players on loan. I think that one of the good things about OKC Energy is that they look to do what they can without having to take loan players. You know, we took a few last year, but so far Mikey Lopez is the only player we've taken on loan. I think that just goes to show the direction of this franchise, that they want to be able to identify talent on their own and bring players in that want to play for Energy alone. Not that Mikey doesn't, but, you know, Mikey is a he's a Sporting KC player. And so right now what he's looking to do is prove himself to the point that he can go back and play for Sporting. So I think what the Energy are looking for are players that want to play for the Energy. They're signing for the Energy. They're playing for the Energy. So I think that's what you see here.
And Ryan, to kind of go back to what you were saying, the guy you were talking about was actually Michael Harris.
Yes.
He's the one that gave that nice cross.
Oh, yes.
The beautiful assist to go ahead and give that game-tying goal.
Yeah,
to Kyle Greg.
Greg. Hey, Greg, you know, he scored quite a few goals for us last year. It's nice to see him punch some goals in. I tell you what, if he keeps doing that, he's going to get his chances. It's just you have to ask yourself where, you know. I mean, Koenig and Greg are similar players, you know. You can't really put them on the outside. I think a lot of times during the games you see our three players up top, you know, kind of switch in and out. Koenig will get outside sometimes. Daugaard or Townsend will go inside. But when you look at Koenig, he is your number nine. And that's really what Greg is, that type of player. And so you like to see, we like to see, I know I do, Greg put some goals in because we saw it last year. I mean, shoot, the guy scored the first goal in franchise history. So, you know, he has a soft spot in our hearts. We like to see him get more time somehow, so. All right, so now that we've talked kind of hopefully all we can about this game coming up, LA Galaxy, by the way, if you haven't got your tickets yet, do it. It's going to be a big game. LA Galaxy is always a big draw. It's Saturday night. I know you guys don't have anything else to do, so come out, drink some beer with us. If you know, enjoy being a little bit more rowdy, you can come hang out with us there in the supporter section. But before we close out here, we do have another advertisement for you guys.
This Saturday, we are celebrating at Taft Stadium Soccer Moms. That's May 9th.
Soccer Moms.
Ooh, May 9th at 7 p.m.
Wait. Quick question. You mean we're only celebrating Soccer Moms this Saturday? I thought we always celebrate Soccer Moms.
Well, me personally, I've always celebrated Soccer Moms, whether you are one, want to be one, or know one. But anyways, this Saturday, you can get your tickets for just $69. That is a Energy FC 4-pack, which provides 4 tickets for the game and $20 in concession cash.
Come on. You don't think 69 is a little bit ironic? Give me...
Emily Podcast Daniel.
I'm sorry.
I'm not gonna say it, but zing.
Oh, that's anyway. Funny. It's a funny number.
It is funny. They couldn't just round up and go to 70.
No. The McDonald's family pack actually gives 4 fans tickets to the McDonald's family section. That's the family supporter section. That's far away from us hooligans out there.
Yes, that's a good idea. I'm glad they did that.
That's a great idea.
If you have kids, if you have, you know, anyone you want to bring to the game that is not willing to listen to us banter and yell, there might be some foul language. There might be something offensive said by some people.
Will. If you have morals, if you enjoy a time that is not involved with yelling words or smoke bombs or copious amounts of beer, enjoy the McDonald's family section they created just for you.
A distinct lack of fun is what I'm hearing.
No, fun is different for everybody.
Fun is subjective.
Anyway, sorry. Go back to the soccer mom advertisement.
I want to hear more about these soccer moms.
If you want to buy the McDonald's family pack versus the Energy FC pack, you have to buy those separately. Energy FC can be purchased online for the same price, whereas the McDonald's family pack comes with 2 coupons for an extra value meal and 2 coupons for a Happy Meal. The offer is only available for the McDonald's family pack. at the box office. So get your tickets either there or online, depending on which pack you'd rather prefer.
You know what? All I can say to that is this. We love to celebrate soccer moms, but only the OKC Energy celebrates soccer moms with an extra value meal to McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is not any better than that. So if you, but in all seriousness, if you guys are kind of on the fence, and it is a good time, kids will have a lot of fun. And, you know, in about 10 to 15 years, they can come hang out with us. So, all right, guys, what do you think? You guys have anything to add to the pod?
I think at this point we're doing well. We're smooth good. Sailing, yeah.
We're good. All right.
Can't wait for the game.
Good, it's a pretty good inaugural pod, I think.
Yeah, I think so well. As well. I think we did well. So anyways, we just want to thank you guys for listening. We'll make sure that we continue to improve this podcast. We'll add some segments to it. One of the biggest segments we'll add to this is a question and answer. So once we get the pod out and advertise to you guys, we'll hope that you'll ask us questions that we can answer during the pod. We love, you know, the feedback. So follow us. If you have the Twitter, it is at Jimmy's Army Pod. That's at Jimmy's Army Pod. Follow us there. Spread the word. You can send us questions there. We'll make sure we get them answered on the podcast. What do you guys have to add to that? So much. They have so much to add. I mean, it's unbelievable right now.
Yeah, I'm just going to send a special shout out to all of our friends who are going to be the primary listeners of this podcast. They're probably going to be the only listeners for the first one, but hopefully we get out there. So
yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing to note is if you're not one of our close and personal friends that is listening to this podcast because we're making you, please feel free to join us at the Grid Tailgate on May 9th here against Los Dos. We'd be happy to share a beer with you, talk to you about, you know, the podcast or the energy, anything you guys want. What else you got, Ty?
So another thing we like to do, if you're ever a visiting fan, if you are ever, even if you're a fan of Los Dos, which I, you know, no offense, I highly doubt, but a visiting fan, come to our tailgate. Hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on whatever social network you need, and we'd be more than happy to hang out with you, have a beer, have a drink, whatever it needs to be. We like to do something here, though. If you're traveling and you have the availability, we do what we like to do is the beer exchange. You bring a beer from where you're from, we'll bring some beer where we're from. We're not asking you to bring for the whole group. We're just asking you to bring, you know, maybe a six-pack, 12, something.
Bring for the whole group.
we like to drink.
Yeah, but we'll get you taken care of regardless. You know, it's not one of those things where we're going to make you guys provide for all of us when there's only a few of you. We'll make sure that you've got a lot from us, and we'll take a little from you.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. And also, we would just like to say that we really hate Tulsa. So that's how we'll end the podcast. We hope you guys listen to us next week where we'll recap the LA game. Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. Always true. Again, we'll recap the LA Galaxy game, and we'll go over what's going on next week. Thank you guys for listening.
And if you guys didn't actually catch that, Tulsa spelled backwards is slut.
Thank you.
Good night.
Cheers. Cheers, kids.
Cheers.